Hey, I've got an honest question for you today. Ask yourself, have you ever been so busy being religious that you completely found yourself outside of doing what God would want us to do? Maybe some of the common sense had gone away. As you know, in the Bible, particularly when Jesus was walking the earth, that they were really living under the law at that time, and they were pretty firm with that, particularly the Pharisees. They were very legalistic, and I use that word in the truest sense. And when I say legalistic, I mean they were following the letter of the law. But folks, the thing that Jesus really taught us throughout his word is that people are more important, and we've got to have some common sense along the way when we go forward. So today, we're actually going to take a look at yet another one of the miracles of the Messiah. This is the healing of the infirm woman out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Grab your Bible. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray your day is going well, and we thank you for taking this opportunity to join us as we gather around God's Word today. A moment ago, I asked you the question about being honest with yourself and saying, can we ever find ourselves being so spiritual that we forget why we're being spiritual? Now, that may sound a little confusing right now, but as we go through today's scripture, I think you're going to find a little bit more about what I'm talking about. So today, we're going to delve into a very powerful and transformative moment in the ministry of Jesus. See, we're going to explore the passage of Luke chapter 13, specifically verses 10 through 17, where we witness Jesus healing a woman who had been crippled for 18 years. Okay, now in this narrative, we're not only going to see the compassion and the power of Jesus, but it's going to draw lessons that we can apply to our own lives. So let's look at our scripture today. It's Luke chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading at verse 10. It says, "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over, and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day.' The Lord then answered him and said, 'Hypocrite.'" Notice that's an explanation. Well, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bound on the Sabbath?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and thankful for your word. We're thankful for the fact that it is our guide. And Lord, I pray that you will just help us to endeavor looks at your word differently than we ever have in the past. Lord, may we truly study it. Father, may the Holy Spirit teach us as we take these times to get into your word. Lord, today I pray that we might open our hearts and be receptive to the movement of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives. Lord, you have a lesson for us today. There's something you want to teach us. Lord, to bring us closer to you. And Father, I pray that you truly will give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. And Father, I also pray that if there is one within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, that their heart might be convicted, that they may give their life over to you today so they can truly experience what life is all about. And Father, I always like to ask you, please use me as a vessel. Lord, I realize I am nothing without you. I pray that the words that would come forth today would truly be your words to the ears of the listener. And Lord, I just ask right now that you would do something pretty special and incredible as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As we start to get into this particular passage today, I've always said that it's incredibly important that we understand the times, that we understand what was going on in what era. So there's some historical context that we would like to apply to the scripture that we just read today. Now, this event took place during the Sabbath while Jesus was teaching in a synagogue. Now, at this particular time, the Jewish leaders were very highly observant of the Sabbath law, which prohibited any forms of work taking place on the Sabbath day. In fact, if you go back historically and look, it was one of those situations that told those that were followers of the Lord that the day before the Sabbath, you would actually gather up and make enough, cook enough meal for you to last you for both Saturday and Sunday. In fact, it was so restrictive that there were just a certain number of steps that were allowed on the Sabbath day. So you could see how this piece of legalism could be very restrictive on somebody. So as they observed that law, healing on the Sabbath was a no-no because it was considered work. Healing, yes, was considered work. So that meant that it was forbidden on the Sabbath. Now, Jesus' act of healing on this day was seen as very controversial, particularly within the synagogue. And in fact, not only controversial, it was even seen as offensive to the religious leaders who were prioritizing the law over compassion. And that's something that I really want us to hit today, because there are times that we can find ourselves so busy keeping the rules. Now, understand my heart, I'm not telling you to not follow what the Lord tells you to do, but I'm telling you to follow what the Lord tells you to do. I still remember an example that was given at one time, and obviously you follow the rules, but I like the way a fella explained it one time when he said, you know, if you were walking by a pond and there was a sign out there that said no swimming, and yet when you walked by, there was somebody in that pond and they began to drown, you know, are you going to look at that sign and say, well, I can't go help that person, I can't go save their life because the sign says no swimming? Or am I going to prioritize a living human being over what that particular rule says and go help them? Well, most of us, you know, as I pose that question to you, I feel fairly certain that 100% of you would sit back and say, well, obviously we would go save the person that was in trouble. We would save that person who was drowning regardless of what the sign has to say. So, yeah, these religious leaders at that time were very offended at what Jesus had done over showing compassion to this woman and healing her. So I want us to understand that the key phrase in today's scripture text is when Jesus tells the woman, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. The term loosed, it's a Greek word that indicates a release or liberation from bondage. Okay, Jesus identifies her condition as a form of spiritual bondage, indicating that her healing was not just a physical healing, but also a spiritual healing. And this word really makes application to that as we go forward. So, so the healing of the infirm woman by Jesus on the Sabbath highlights God's prioritization of compassion over legalistic observance. Now, if you don't get anything else out of this Bible study today, get that. And I'm going to say it again. The healing of this infirm woman by Jesus on the Sabbath highlights God's prioritization of compassion over legalistic observance. That is incredibly important to us today, particularly in a day and age where we can find ourselves being so traditional that we get locked in. Our traditionalism can almost become legalism. Yet, let's go back and ask ourselves, why is it that we are doing what we are doing? Is compassion part of what we are doing? You know, are we being a legalistic type of individual that literally judges people because they don't step the way we do or follow a same legalistic pattern that we do? Folks, I'm here to tell you that back in the day that this was written, as well as to this very day, God, His priority is compassion over simple legalistic observances. And it's interesting that I've talked to some folks who have been caught up in a lot of legalism. They're so busy following the rules, and I'm not telling you not to follow God's rules. But they're so busy following God's rules, they have prioritized that over the personal relationship and the personal walk with the Savior. And in talking with folks who were caught up in this legalism, when they finally realized that and they finally let the legalism go and begin to work on the relationship, that every single one of them told me how liberating that was, how freeing that was, that God doesn't just want you to be a robot following a bunch of rules, but rather He wants you to have a relationship with Him. Man, that's incredible. That is a wonderful, wonderful breakthrough. And if you're there today, I want to challenge you. Let the legalism go. Let the compassion and the relationship set in. See, this challenges every believer to evaluate our commitment to religious practices against our dedication to love and to grace. Which one weighs out more? That's basically what I'm asking you. Is it more about we've got to follow these rules, or is it more about the people that can be reached in light of these particular things? Listen, if Satan can keep you so busy over here being caught up in legalism to the point where you're judgmental, and folks, I have seen the judgmentalism that comes from the legalism. You know what? You're going to hell if you listen to this kind of music, or you're going to hell if you wear these kind of clothes. Folks, there is nothing in the gospel that says anything about that. Yeah, Adrian Rogers gave this great big list, which I loved. I laugh to this day when I sit back and read it. And I'll give you a few of them. It's not as exhaustive as his was, but he said, you're not going to go to hell because you drank a beer. You're not going to go to hell because you had a tattoo. You're not going to go to hell because you had bad relationships. And he gives this whole list of things. He says, if you wind up going to hell, you're going to hell because you refuse to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Now, I'm not saying that should be a license to go out and sin. Paul addressed that. He said, because there is forgiveness through repentance, that doesn't mean I should just go out and do whatever I want to do and say, God's going to forgive me. We should try to please Him as we walk with Him. So what is more important in your life? Is it more important for you to follow a set of legalistic rules? And I'm not even talking about God's rules. You know, last time I checked, I haven't found anywhere in here that said Jesus wore a tie or that Jesus didn't wear a pair of blue jeans. None of that is in here, okay? Those are some man-made legalistic rules, all right? So, obviously you want to follow God's rules, but where's the heart of compassion that goes along with it? One of the things I found is that those legalistic people, and by their own confession, were more judgmental over folks because they were busy talking about what everybody else wasn't doing rather than what God can do in their life as well as the lives of those around them. So let's take a little closer look at this passage and break it down a little bit more. You see, there are several elements that we can see that are brought out here. First of all, the woman did not approach Jesus. I want you to understand that. He saw her and called her to Himself. Now, this basically showcases His initiative in seeking out and delivering mercy. Folks, I want you to know that no matter where you are, no matter what circumstance or situation you're in, God sees you. Yeah, I love the fact of salvation, and we can get into a great theological discussion on this. But the one thing that I've said before and how I believe is simply the fact that, yes, we in and of ourselves, we don't even have what it takes in our sinful condition to seek God, but He seeks us. He's the one who comes and knocks at our heart's door. We don't even have the capacity to seek Him, but He seeks us. But then He gives us that opportunity, that choice. Are we going to receive Him or not? Okay, so the interesting thing about this is that this was not a lady that we find in the Bible who was, yelling, Jesus, listen, I've been crippled for 18 years, come heal me. She was just present. She was there. Jesus observed her. Jesus saw her. Jesus called her to Himself. And that shows initiative on His part, not that she tried to run Him down. See, there are several other parables where we see, like the lepers that called out to Jesus, but that wasn't because Jesus didn't see them. Jesus always saw them. He sees us, and that's something for us to understand, all right? That's one of the first things I wanted us to see out of today's passage. The second thing is the immediacy of her healing upon Jesus' touch and his spoken word, this signifies his authority over the physical and the spiritual realms of what's taking place. And it was just like that. It wasn't going to take time. You know, he didn't give her some other instructions along the way. Boom. I'm trying to picture this condition because it said that she was bent over. I'm imagining what that must have looked like. And then Jesus touches her and he heals her, and immediately she straightens up. I am sure that there were people there who had known of her health history over the past 18 years, whether it was family members, friends, or whatever. They knew that this was a true situation. They also knew that when Jesus touched her and healed her and she straightened up, that was real. That was very real. The Lord did some things not only in the life of the lady that he healed, but also in the lives of those who had the opportunity to see what was going on. I believe it was very powerful for those who knew this lady and who had dealt with her for 18 years through this infirmity. And yet she didn't call out to Jesus. Jesus called out to her. Think about that. You might feel like you're in a very dark place right now. The Lord knows where you are. He sees you and he comes after you. Okay, the third thing I want us to see in our text today is that the ruler of the synagogue's indignation highlights the conflict between established religious norms and the liberating action of Christ. And I spoke to that just a moment ago. I think that there's an old expression that I grew up with. I don't know about you, but the old expression is sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. I think that there are times that we could be so busy doing ministry that we forget why we're doing ministry. I think we can become so involved in doing things, good things, but yet the compassion behind why we do those things aren't there. We can find ourselves going through the actions. And I pray that's not you. We can find ourselves there. If it is you, I pray that today you will offer a prayer of repentance and come back to the Lord and do what you're doing in the name of Jesus, because you are reflecting the compassion that he has upon the people that you're ministering to. It will change your life. It'll change your life personally. It'll change the lives of those that you come in contact with. Okay? Jesus' response with these religious leaders draws attention to the hypocrisy of valuing animals' needs over human suffering. I mean, think about that for a minute. Jesus basically said, it's all right for you to go and untie your ox and take it out to get a drink of water, but yet that's no big deal for you to do that. But yet here's a lady who has been healed for 18 years, had an infirmity, and yet you're saying that it's more important that your ox get a drink of water on the Sabbath than this lady to be healed. You know what? He's making that comparison. And when you look at it, it should be a comparison that brought shame to those who were in the room who heard what was going on. And Jesus, I called it like it was. He called him a hypocrite. That's doing one thing and saying another. And I mean, it has an explanation point by it. You hypocrite. You see, Jesus also refers to the woman as a daughter of Abraham. And that is an affirmation of her worth and her rightful claim to God's promises and blessings as he promised in the Bible. Okay? So a lot of stuff going on in this passage, isn't it? Lessons for a lot of folks. We see Jesus do an incredible act of healing for this particular woman. But think about the lessons learned by all those who were present to see that, and the lessons that you and I can learn from the written word today as we kind of place ourselves in this particular passage, all right? So what does that mean to us? This passage should compel us to consider our own attitudes towards religious observances and the needs of others, that comparison. Now, please don't get me wrong, folks. There's nothing wrong with religious observances. I've said before, as a Southern Baptist, if we ever walked in and completely changed around the order of service, some people would lose their minds. And I say that in love, laughing, because you know that you are those people. We all sit in the same places in church, and we've got these things. Listen, it's okay to have religious observances. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But what I am saying is that the compassion and the love of others should supersede the observances. If the observances get in the way of us doing what the Lord has called us to do, to have a heart of compassion, to win the lost, then we really need to evaluate those things. So, you know, what is our attitude towards religious observances and the needs of others when compared side by side? Do we place rules above compassion? Are there infirmities in our lives, just like the infirmity this lady had in our scripture text today? And by the way, they don't have to be physical. They can be physical. Yeah. What are your infirmities? Is it something physical? Is it something emotional? Is it something spiritual that needs Christ's touch? See, as followers of Christ, we're called to emulate His compassion and to prioritize love over legalism. There's your thesis statement for the day in this particular passage. Are we prioritizing compassion and love over legalism? That's really what it boils down to. Because when you sit there and compare those two side by side, the things that you do, ask which one it points to. You know, are the things I'm doing done out of love, or are they done out of legalism? You know, the things I'm saying, all these things, that's a really good litmus test. So there's your thesis statement for the day, okay? Yeah, when you compare it, ask yourself why you're doing what you do. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, I've seen times when there are folks who, they were good-hearted, they had the right heart about them, but yet what happens was when legalism steps in, most often you find yourself chastising someone rather than showing love and compassion. You know, it's like telling somebody, listen, if you don't have a coat and a tie on, don't come into this church. Man, I'll tell you one thing. I do not want to be standing anywhere near that person when they stand before Jesus, because last time I checked, Jesus said, you come just as you are. You know, it's not about the clothes or the outside. It's about the inside. And yet we stand in judgment so much over so many people, to the point where we turn them off, to the point that we turn them off to religious things. We turn them off to Jesus because basically as we model what a Christian should be like, they sit back and say, I don't want to have anything to do with that. You know, I have lost friends. This is what they say. They say, I have lost friends who have more love and compassion toward me than those Christian people do. Folks, that is a sad mark for Christianity today. That is a sad mark on the church today. Listen, it's not about the rules. It's about the relationship. So in closing, let us remember that Jesus' ministry was marked by acts of compassion, by acts of healing, and by breaking down barriers. If you've noticed that over these past several months that we have been talking about the miracles of the Messiah, all of those things are paramount in His miracles, all right? Compassion being number one. Why is He doing what He's doing? Because He has compassion upon the people. We see many times in these miracles that the miracles were healing miracles. And we also see that He was breaking down barriers. He was breaking down cultural barriers. He was breaking down racial barriers. He was breaking down social stigmas along the way through all these miracles. I hope and pray that over these past several months, those are things you've been able to draw out of our time together in discussing the miracles. All right. Now, Jesus' actions on the Sabbath remind us of the essence of God's law. And what is the essence of God's law? That is love. You know, and it should challenge us to live lives that reflect His grace and His mercy. Listen, may we never be the picture of the religious leader in our text today. I mean, you think about it. If you were there, Jesus heals this lady, and then all of a sudden, the guy in charge of the synagogue says, He's healing on the Sabbath. Yeah, and then he even says this. He says, there are six other days during the week. Why can't you come by on one of those six to be healed? Why on this day? Well, his priorities were out of order. And you know what? Sometimes our priorities can get very out of order as well. I hope and pray the Holy Spirit is giving you a priority check along the way that we can truly live the essence of God's law, love. You know, you're challenged today to live lives that reflect God's grace and reflect God's mercy. And I hope and pray that you can rise to that challenge, that you can rise to that occasion. All right. Thank you for joining us today. Let me go ahead and tell you what we're going to be looking at as far as where I want you to spend a little time reading this week. This week, I want you to spend some time over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Next week, we're going to look at the 28th sermon in our Miracles of the Messiah, and this is going to be the cleansing of the 10 lepers that comes out of Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. So be studied up. Take those moments and opportunities to be brushed up on the Word as we gather back together for next week. And let me go ahead and take this moment to close us with a word of prayer as we end our time together today. Father, as we come to you today, we thank you for the lessons that we learn from the life and the ministry of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you will help us to embrace compassion over legalism. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to seek healing in our own lives and in the lives of those that are around us. Father, may we be instruments of your love, reflecting your grace and mercy to a world that is truly in need. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory for all that you'll do as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, again, folks, thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. I want to personally invite you to come by and visit with us. If you don't have a church home or if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love to have you visit with us. Our Sunday morning service starts at 10:45. We do have discipleship opportunities through Sunday school. We've got ministry for children through Awana. We've got small groups for both men and women. We would love to have you come worship with us in spirit and in truth. And as you do, be sure to introduce yourself to me. I'm Pastor Roy. You've probably seen that on the screen or heard it, but we would love to have you visit with us. I'm going to pray that God gives you a great week and gives you an opportunity to be used as an instrument in His hands in the lives of other people. So God bless you. Have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you Sunday.